Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector.
According to some estimates, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
Our plan, powered by the Inflation Reduction Act, represents the largest investment in fighting climate change in our country's history.
My most fervent hope is that Republicans themselves will begin to reject all of that verbally, vocally, in their voting, and, you know, kind of reconstitute the Republican Party to where it used to be.
Outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th. Malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty.
President Trump has made it very clear on what he will do with terrorists. Treason, Gitmo. I would love nothing more than to see those who perpetuated this on us on 9/11 to be exposed and to finally meet their end in Gitmo. Also, those that rigged our elections, those that put us through the corona junk, those that forced the jabs on so many people and hurt them. We have stood together for a long time watching this unfold. We will discuss all of this, New Mexico's gun grab, Mike Lindell, his fight, the jab, Maui a little bit, and more today, especially a little bit on 9/11. Not all of it, just enough to skim over it, so we'll never forget. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm the kind of guy who just thinks it's abominable when a superpower with all this military might, with no provocation, attacks a country that is, Ukraine. Terrible.
So although Woody Harrelson brings up something that is well known to many people, he is, in a sense, telling everyone through their laughter, hey, what countries have we gone into that didn't cause any issues, but we went in there anyway? That would be the United States, and that would be the deep state of the United States, who for years has caused nothing but trouble for all of us. And he accidentally says Afghanistan, right? He accidentally says, you know, Korea, all these places we went into, you know, folks went into, but nothing really happened. Same thing with Russia supposedly going into Ukraine, which, in my opinion, was the opposite. 2014, we know what's going on there. We know how the politics played out. We know the corruption all the way around with Ukraine and how, in my opinion, the special operation had to play forth to take out these 47 bio labs, who I believe were preparing something very destructive for our world once again, even though I think they're up to no good again. It seemed like they always have a way to get around these evil doings. And so when I saw this, it reminded me of this quote: to anger a conservative, lie to him; to anger a liberal, tell him the truth. That anger the liberals or the conservatives as we go through this wake-up call? And so many folks were supposedly saying that Trump was getting, you know, according to the mainstream media, that he was getting, you know, flipped off at the Iowa game that he went to, the football game, after getting booed. Is that right? So somebody put this out to show us the truth, since the media, they're a bunch of liars.
Donald Trump did not get the reception that he was hoping for today at the Iowa State college football game.
These liberals are delusional, showing the same two pictures. It's like a joke. Here's what actually happened.
They were going crazy for him. And you could see the crowds if you're looking at your video screen. Hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people just couldn't wait to see President Trump. Super excited. Everywhere he went. And yet they show us this guy named Biden. What type of reception does he get when he gets out of his vehicle?
Now for my delusional liberal friends, here's what being booed sounds like.
Showing you how it all plays out, huh? How this all plays out for us to see with and hear with our own ears. Something that would be unimaginable for those mainstream media freaks, for those who go around telling us all the time that Trump lost. Yeah, right. For those coughing under their breath, laughing at us, making statements that he's going to prison and all this other junk that we have to deal with day in, day out. We have to return back kindness, and it's hard. But we know the truth. We stand on the truth. And here's a clip from him going into a college here. This is a frat house, folks. He goes in and listen to this. Now that is something else. You wouldn't see that smile. You wouldn't see the smiles and the clapping if old Joe or the actor that's playing Joe walked in. No, sir. They'd be very quiet. They were like, oh, man, I'm forced to be here. Oh, I'm doing this because the university told me I have to stand there and take it. Oh, yeah. We know what's going on. We also know what's going on, you know, because I'm going to get to a lot of stuff when it comes to Trump and more. Well, let's see. I'm going to play one more clip about the mainstream media and his mugshot being released. Thought you guys might want to hear this one.
This is how I know most American people are robots, because how y'all looking at this whole situation lets me know that y'all have no individual perspective. America only treats people like this when they feel like they are trying to show them I'm still in control. They're trying to embarrass him. He's a president. He has Secret Service, like Charleston White said. He cannot go to prison. It's not going to happen. Which lets me know this is about a form of control. They're trying to embarrass him and his team. They're trying to break him. They're trying to show him you are not in control as much as you want, and he's fighting back even more. That's the issue. And I find it weird how y'all want me to care about his taxes. Y'all want me to care about him groping women. I don't care about none of that. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Everything that they're trying to go against him for is his private issues. When Biden is still president, he's giving all of our money to Ukraine. The issues that American people have issues with lets me know why they treat y'all how they treat y'all. Robots.
Robots. Very good. So once again, folks are using their gifts, their talents to get information out to the public so that we know what's going on. It's a wonderful thing how it all works, how it comes together. And that's why many have spent years talking about 9/11, which we're going to get into a little bit later. And many have caught on when it comes to the Maui fires and other fires happening around this earth. They know something strange is going on. It doesn't seem real. As a matter of fact, we talk about smart cities. It's called a smart city because if you wouldn't want to live there if they called it a concentration camp. So that's what they want to build. And so I don't know if you caught this, but Wall Street Apes put out a video clip Everyone needs to see this. Hawaii Governor Josh Green slips up and confirms the smart city land grab. He catches himself and tries to backpedal. Uh-huh. And so let's play this clip and see if we can hear it, okay? I might turn it up.
So visceral and so tragic. No legislator would avoid the issue. Everyone will focus on the issue. Now, hopefully, it won't just be 1 year worth. The problem we have, of course, is we are now in it. We are in an era of global, you know, climate change. And what we do in Hawaii, we will be able to lead by example as far as mitigating efforts and our pain. When people see the pain that we have suffered, they're going to take us seriously. It's an unusual thing for a person like me to get to speak to a very broad audience, you know, a broad international audience, but I will make this case.
Smart cities. He's got to say, you catch that, smart cities. Oh my goodness, he's going to say it. Rewind it. Wait. He does it again. Huh. So we know now the direct energy weapons are being used. We know now that they've planned the smart city grab of people's lands. And then I just wanted to show you this. Folks, I was going to play this later on, but I just felt like I needed to show this to you now. Watch this. Crazy Maui police officers won't let a Lahaina Maui Hawaii fire resident victim on their own land. Here we go.
His escort.
I request the recognition of my rights in my territory.
Okay, for this moment right now, this is a line that can't be crossed at this moment, okay? Yeah,
I beg to differ with you, officer, and I know that likely you're in a dilemma. However, you must realize that this is my territory and my rights to have free access to my territory.
Okay.
Well, it is a law.
Right now, we're just going to hold the line for a moment here. We've got to take care of some things.
For a moment. So you're going to let him in a moment?
Officer, that is not your business. It's not my business. My territory is my business.
Yeah.
South ACP?
No, I'm Pat.
You're Pat?
Yeah.
I'm okay, so that's good. South ACP?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. And, okay, so then.
This is treasonous. It's the law. Mm-hmm. Victim says, you must realize this is my territory. Officer, this is the law. When the government's telling you that you can't enter your own land, you might have a tyrannical government. Let's see. Another one I was going to show later, I'll show you now. Remember, we showed accepting the COVID dictates has consequences. New Mexico Democrat governor now uses same public health emergency, quote unquote, to ban firearms. This right here is exactly what you, me, and everyone with a logical brain was talking about back in 2020 and 2021 when the various state governors were using public health emergency declarations to rule by unilateral fiat and remove constitutional things. But folks, I want to play this for you. A clip that came from this actually showed on the news.
They waved the American flag, held a number of signs, and displayed their own firearms. Many we spoke with say the governor's order to suspend the act of carrying a firearm in public is going against their constitutional rights. Now, although they are aware of the penalties they could face now, they tell us they are ready to face those consequences. And others who showed up to this gathering say there should be more discussion between the two sides to find solutions.
You're going to take the rights away from everybody because one person broke the law.
I think we're past the point of the Second Amendment. Fine. For me, that was back with muskets, and things were a little different then.
Now, representatives and attorneys also gathered at this event to share their voice in opposition to Governor Grisham.
Mm-hmm. What else is going on there? They're asking for the impeachment of Grisham. Let's see, we're right here.
It's a move by the governor that has made national headlines. A 30-day ban on carrying firearms in any public spaces across Bernalillo County to curb gun violence. Since the announcement yesterday, it's drawn major criticism from across the country, leading to two New Mexico lawmakers calling for the impeachment of Governor Luann Grisham following her public health order. News 13's Gabe Chavez has more.
We made an oath, which is a promise that we swear that we're going to uphold the Constitution, the rights of New Mexicans. And she threw that right out the window.
Anger, frustration, and shocked. That's how some state leaders are feeling today.
So we know that. And then also a flashback from Cat Turd. New Mexico Governor Grisham caught using taxpayer money to pay for her groceries, whiskey, and tequila. Remember this? Nice flashback from Gateway Pundit for all of us to see. So again, government overreach, trying to do all they can to destroy us, destroy our freedoms, and more. And I wanted to just get, I feel like I just had to get to that first because we've got a lot to cover on 9/11 as a remembrance day today. And more, and some others that are fighting for rights and freedoms that, you know, we got to stand up. They're going to do all they can to go after us. We've seen this. And remember local action. And these folks gather together, obviously, to let folks know, look, you're not doing this on our watch. We've got to have this. And so again, President Trump getting all of the support from these young folks. You'd think the young ones were indoctrinated and they don't care anything about seeing him or listening to him talk, but no, it's happening. The wake up. Now, I thought it was even more interesting. September 10th, the President Trump put this out. His Iowa team adds 2,250 plus signed caucus pledge cards during Saturday visit. That's a headline. Now, if you're listening to me, and you're not looking at a screen, think about that. Whenever I'm in the journalist world, whenever we're writing news stories that have my reporters, I would say, hey, if it's more than 2,000, if it's 2,251, I'd say more than 2,000. Just round it up. Or more than 2,200. But we wouldn't have 2,250 plus. That's something we normally don't do as journalists. Some of you guys out there might be journalists, and you say, well, of course we do. But, you know, that'd be a little talk that we'd have. And I'd just say, look, that's just crazy. Nobody cares about 2,250 plus. More than 2,000 sounds better. More than 3,000. Nearly 3,000. Nearly 2,000. Why do I get so caught up in that? Because if we look in the Intel board, 2,250, that exact number, you might not have read about this GOP victory because the liberal national media is not exactly excited to report the Republicans reclaimed a seat they had not held in 139 years. Read carefully, significant red wave. So to me, that's a calm that there's a red wave. And then you go a step further and they say, hey, we have 27,500. So the 2,250 signed caucus pledge cards during his multi-stop visit on Saturday, bringing the total collected to more than 27,500 in advance of the January caucuses. Interesting numbers, because 2,750, Trump's statement is brilliant. Deep state loaded the bill with multiple facets to block it, and his White House statement just released systemically points out section by section where they tried to block him. He's countering that by citing presidential and constitutional authorities. Shall we play a game? Oh, these good comms. It just keeps rolling in. You know, it helps you stay healthy. There's other things that help you stay healthy also.
You know, guys, when it comes to your health, physically, mentally, and more, it's just amazing as I was able to spend some time with Field of Greens. They really walked me through this. I got the supply of Field of Greens. I've been taking it, and I tell you what, I've noticed a difference. I really have. The CDC says that I should eat 6 cups of fruit and veggies a day. There's zero chance I'm eating 6 cups of fruit and veggies a day, especially when I'm driving around everywhere. I know I should eat healthier, but I don't. And according to a massive study, and this is some of the notes that we've taken, people who eat a healthy, you know, they eat healthy, they live longer, they have a less heart disease issue, and diabetes, and, you know, less cancer. It's just Field of Greens. Unbelievable. I've done a lot of stuff as a bodybuilder, and man, this thing has been just absolutely amazing. Unlike other fruit and vegetable supplements, each fruit and vegetable in the Field of Greens, I checked it out, was medically selected to support specific functions like heart health, liver, and kidney health, immune system, metabolism. Everybody wants metabolism. So I took Field of Greens, and it's helping me stay healthy. So the biggest benefits is better health promise. Take Field of Greens. You'll have folks saying, whatever you're doing, it's working. Keep it up. You can do that or return it for a refund if you don't like it. And you know, to help you get started, I got 15% off the first order. Your first order, 15% off. Plus, you'll get another 10% off when you subscribe for recurring orders. So visit fieldofgreens.com. It's in the description box below this video and use promo code LT. Simple, LT. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code LT.
Rotten, horrible lawyers like you and the media saying, oh, Mike Lindell's trying to save this country just to make money. I have lost everything I've had so far. You got it? So don't sit here and chit here, because I'm not going to take this garbage you're spewing out. This is a horrific what you're doing. I've said it from the start of this thing. It's disgusting. I've lost millions of dollars.
He's fighting. He's upset. They called him lumpy pillows. He started screaming at the lawyer then. He got upset. They're holding him, asking him questions, and he basically says he's got all week. They said, we've got all week, too, and they messed with him, and they constantly do these things. They're sick. And throughout the social media world and more, folks, you can see this videotape, the entire thing, Mike Lindell having it out with the lawyers that are going after him with these stupid attacks on him and his business, all for supporting President Trump. It's all they care about. And so the fight, I believe, is working. He's showing us he's standing up. He's not going to let these guys bully him around. And they do. They try to talk down to him like he's a little kid. They try to bully him. They try to poke at him to make him, you know, basically erupt. I could just see them in the background going, oh, that's great. We love getting him mad. So part of me thinks, you know, oh, a soft answer turns away wrath. Yeah, but other times there is, you can be angry and sin not. You know what? He was letting these guys know. You're snakes. You're evil. You know it. And he's had enough. And he fought back. Another guy that fought for his daughter, who was severely hurt, raped by a tranny going into a girl's bathroom. He fought hard for that. Well, just a miracle in a sense that Youngkin, and miracle is not actually this, but I'm just saying in words, that he was pardoned by Youngkin, a guy that fought for his family.
I want to ask you about one of these parents who's made headlines, because a lot of people remember this case, this showdown in Loudoun County, which is outside D.C. here. He had a daughter who'd been sexually assaulted. He went to a school board. He was demanding information, trying to get answers. It got pretty heated at one point, and he actually got arrested. His name is Scott Smith. He expressed frustration this summer when he found out he was going to have to face trial this fall on a remaining charge. He said, I have yet to hear from our governor, Glenn Youngkin. Is your administration in contact with him about his case?
We are in contact with him. And in fact, I spoke with Mr. Smith on Friday, and I had the privilege of telling Mr. Smith that I would pardon him. And we did that on Friday. We righted a wrong. He should have never been prosecuted here. This was a dad standing up for his daughter. And just to remind everyone, his daughter had been sexually assaulted in the bathroom of a school, and no one was doing anything about it. And in fact, it took the election of a new governor, me, and my directive to our Attorney General, Jason Meares, to investigate this, to uncover the fact that the superintendent had, in fact, covered it up. And he was immediately terminated when the final report from the grand jury was issued. Mr. Smith did what any father would do, what any parent would do, was stand up for their child. And even worse, what then happened was the perpetrator was moved to another school and sexually assaulted another young woman. This was a gross miscarriage of justice. And I was so pleased to speak with him on Friday and be able to issue a full pardon for him.
How about that, Youngkin? It's almost like he was watching an episode of Madam Secretary. Got his talking points just right. Probably rehearsed it over and over with his staff. And he's out there saying, look, enough already. Enough. Other things that came out when they go after us and we must fight back would be this out of Europe, making people aware that they're after us again.
I would like shortly to wear people from upcoming danger for humanity. The World Health Organization wants all countries to sign an agreement on handing over the authority to declare a pandemic, procure vaccine and drugs. It will be healthier and safer for humanity to sign agreement with the Colombian drug cartel. They know all about drugs for sure. During the COVID pandemic, World Health Organization only told lies. It should be declared a terroristic organization. They lied that is a new and known virus, that is possible to make an effective vaccine, that the vaccine is 82% effective, that is protects against serious illness and deaths, that all, of course, were foolish and lies. Today, World Health Organization is more dangerous for humanity than World Economic Forum. Thank you.
Mm. Always.
And drugs.
Attacking hard, letting folks know they should be a terrorist organization. Look at the things that they've done. Melbourne Online, or Mail Online, Melbourne Teen. Melody Southern suddenly dies in her sleep. Teenager. Another one. Tasmania, Australia, 16-year-old Samara, AFL football player for Wynyard Football Club, dies suddenly, September 5th. No one's protecting these kids. No one. Jessica Cowles, Lansing artist and advocate, dies suddenly, days after a vacation. All of this playing out while some are using their talents to share with us how this has all been playing out, like Ben Garrison. These people say, I take care of myself, and they go to the gym. Smoking, I don't do smoking. I eat nothing but organic, non-GMO food. And yet those same folks, your body, our choice from the government, and they allow the government to cover them with masks, and they say, yes, sir, and they are hypnotized. And little do you know, the things that, you know, you look into all the food, you take your brands, all this non-GMO food, is it organic? I don't know if I can eat that or not. And folks will look at labels all day long and tell you how good they eat, what type of things they put in their body. But the moment you ask them, did you see what they put inside these jabs? And they find out there's nothing that they're letting us know. But you look in the past for all the other jabs they put in our children, formaldehyde, aluminum, salt, animal cells, mRNA, aborted fetal tissue, ethanol, mercury, lipids, latex, rubber, and more. Somebody that fought against all of this was Djokovic. What's interesting is as Djokovic won his game, or the full match, I believe the U.S. Open, you know, he wasn't allowed to come here because he didn't get his jab. Remember that? Well, you know, now he's in because they allow him to come in because it doesn't matter if he has the jab or not. All of a sudden, everything's okay. Well, right after he wins, check out the commercial that they use to promote his win.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll take you to the Moderna shot of the day, and it was
saving the
match point.
Oh, the
match point to get to number 24. There were a lot of shots that were highly impactful. But here's the final one.
Another day at the office.
Yeah! Relief and release there.
So, the irony. The shot of the day, Moderna. Shot of the day. He didn't get a shot. And yet he wins.
Impactful.
You guys following me? What other things were going on weird today? And then we'll get into 9/11. Oh, yeah. This freak of nature standing up, this actor, national embarrassment.
We talked about at the conference overall. We talked about stability. We talked about making sure that the Southern Hemisphere had access to change it, had access. It wasn't confrontational at all.
Thank you, everybody. This ends the press conference. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
He's mumbling.
and they cut him off to have him come off the stage. And off he goes. Once again, with that mask, that walk, the whole nine. Who goes? Who knows? It could just be a robot, maybe. And the robot's fumbling and can't get its act together, and they have to get him off the stage. Who knows? Oh, it just kind of reminds me of this song.
I always needed to win with some voter fraud with mules, so let's make the most of these fraudulent boats. Build back together. We're all gone broke. Won't you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my voter? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my voter? I voter.
Speed of delivery.
I voter. Oh, I need a little laugh sometimes. And that guy, the character, supposedly signed the executive order to continue, you know, the notice on the continuation of the national emergency with respect to foreign interference in or undermining the public confidence in the United States elections. Huh. And so this President Trump put out the national poll. Puts out the national poll at what time? 6:52 p.m. When he puts that out, you notice that these numbers correlate on the left, the red, with all of the things happening on the right, undermining public confidence in the United States elections. Yeah, the 38, 37, 35, 12, 6, 5, 5, and you go all the way down and you notice this statement. POTUS on terrorists and Guantanamo Bay. Let's be clear. Enemy combatants. Reread the executive orders. Put it together. On September 12, 2018, by Executive Order 13848, the President declared a national emergency pursuant to the International Emergency Economic Powers Act to deal with the unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the United States constituted by the threat of foreign interference in or undermining public confidence in United States elections. Boom. Isn't that pretty? I just love stuff like that. Also love our website, andweknow.com is where you can go, folks. Andweknow.com. Truth, hope, faith, and freedom. You can go there anytime. Get in our social media links and more. They show up. And also you can become a fellowship member. This has, you get merch discounts. You get a monthly newsletter from LT. Special merch package. You're going to get a shirt with I'm a fellow member on it. A fellow member on it. And exclusive event invitation. So like we just had our hangout the other day for an hour. Folks were able to ask me questions. My son helped put all that together. It's amazing. If you go in the description box below to our Discord, if you're a fellow member, you'll be added in. We have an open Discord and an add-in. And also you'll have events that come up that you get first dibs on if you're a fellow. Pretty cool, huh? Also, we have our books for sale. And I just want to read this once again from another person who wrote Robin and Chuck, longtime listener, first-time correspondent. I enjoyed reading glimpses into your life's testimony of Marine, husband, father, colleague, and child of God. You have a gift, and both me and my husband are grateful you share it with the world. Thanks for being a bold and courageous beacon of light in this dark world. And so it was a wonderful letter. I'm not going to read it all just for time's sake, but thank you so much, Robin and Chuck, for sending this note and showing the picture of you wearing the gear and the book. And don't forget, folks, we have the new Saj Raw Edge Tote with Ock logo. They're back in stock. A lot of folks asking for those. The new Luke 8:17 shirt and so much more. Here's more great pictures of patriots wearing our gear.
No one who lived through the horror of the September 11th terrorist attacks can ever forget the agony and the anguish of that terrible day. It was a terrible day. The images of dark plumes of smoke billowing over Lower Manhattan, the Pentagon, and a field of Pennsylvania, such a beautiful field, are seared into our minds forever. We will never forget. Today, on this solemn anniversary of those monstrous attacks, we remember the 2,977 precious souls who were savagely taken from us on that morning 22 years ago, leaving a void that can never be filled, can never be filled. No matter what happens, it can never be filled. We will say a prayer for each of the beautiful families they left behind, whose pain is beyond comprehension. What they've gone through is not even believable. We honor the firefighters, the great New York PD, the police department, what great people they are. They are so great. And the Port Authority officers, the Virginia, D.C., and Pentagon police, and the military service members and other first responders, actually all over the country, they acted with supreme heroism and they went to the site of the most heinous crime. They would leave other states far away and go to the World Trade Center site, the Pentagon. They'd go to Pennsylvania, who in many cases gave their lives in the line of duty. God bless the memory of all of those who perished in the 9/11 attacks. We will never, ever forget. We will never forget you. We love you. God bless their families and God bless America. Thank you.
God bless America. That's President Trump putting out his message this year to never forget. We're going to go through this, and I'm going to do what I call the Cliff Notes again, because there are hours and hours of documentaries that are put together. One of them in particular, and thank you for noticing this and posting it on social media, The Punisher put together a huge, I think, 24-part series on this. And due to time's sake, I'm just going to skip through and just give you some reminders of things to remember about why we make such a strong stance that it wasn't the narrative that they gave us. Again, if we had hours and hours to go through it, I would, but there's plenty of resources out there, folks, that folks have already done their job. So the first clip I want to show you would be 50 views. We're not going to look at all 50. Of the plane impact into the South Tower. Why do I want to play this? Because I didn't know that there were so many different people taking videos from all different angles showing a airplane flying into the towers. Why do I say this? Because there's one set of narratives that say that there were no planes, that it was a only through the television screens did they show it. Another thought is that they were using the blue beam technology from discs that people saw flying around, little silver discs that were flying around, they were probably projecting an image going into the World Trade Center. So it was in a test. They're probably 20, 30, 40, 50 years ahead in technology, and they'll never share with us the technology they have. So that could be it, another part. But it was interesting just to see these different angles from just bystanders that noticed the airplanes flying in. And some of this I can't play the audio because of the constant cursing. Yeah, so they're going to cuss like crazy, but that's another one. There's another angle that I never saw before, and that was this one. Somebody's in the crowd filming. They're showing everybody. They're turning their camera, and they see a plane going over their head. There it is, going over the head, turns the camera. Boom. And so many have written to me also, and they said that they did see airplanes. So, you know, there's just a lot going around. Bottom line is, these planes were used as an excuse of why these towers just simply fell down perfectly and why they all of a sudden figured out a way to get vehicles in there to take all of the steel out as fast as they could and get it off to China to destroy it instead of doing a full investigation. Oh no, they got all that stuff out of there as soon as possible. And you're like, well, why would they go through all of the trouble to make all this happen? They being the deep state, evil folks,
at high levels that made this happen. I'm going to start here.
As the attack took place, Mr. Bush was on his way to an elementary school in Florida. When informed of the first plane hitting the World Trade Center, where terrorists had struck just 8 years prior, Mr. Bush decided to go ahead with his photo opportunity.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning,
Mrs. Moore.
I have what you
read this word the fast way. Get ready.
Mad.
Yes, mad. Get ready.
Mad.
Yeah.
Okay, get ready to read the words on this page without making a mistake.
When the second plane hit the tower, his chief of staff entered the classroom and told Mr. Bush, the nation is under attack. Not knowing what to do, with no one telling him what to do, and no Secret Service rushing in to take him to safety, Mr. Bush just sat there and continued to read My Pet Goat with the children.
Now, this Scotty Films put together shows up My Pet Goat, I Pet Goat 2 video. It's very disturbing. I don't want to play it. I know a lot of children watch. And so when I watch this, I always get physically and spiritually disturbed whenever I see this pet goat videos. There are folks out there that break these videos down, I Pet Goat 1 and 2, showing just the evil messaging that is in there. And so they show Bush making the demonic sign right there, you can see, with his hands. The look of as if he's in some trance, and then it switches to Obama, who gives a wink like and acts very feminine and giggles and laughs, and then it goes into a girl holding, like Alice in Wonderland, an apple, and you see the checkerboard floor, which, I mean, there's so much symbolism here, folks, that you've learned about, and more. And so as we go into this, you see they have the two towers and the destruction from one higher than the other one from the side as they're destroyed. And then, of course, you see the Alice in Wonderland video that was put out, music video, where they're actually in a room with the checkerboard, which you know where that comes from, the symbolism. No need to get into detail there. And they're actually acting as cannibals as they take pieces from Alice in Wonderland there, and it is sick. So again, it reminds us of some of the things that happened there. Saudi Prince Alawid becomes Twitter's second largest shareholder. That was October 31st, 2022. Huh. Well, then what happens? Why was the arrest of Alawid and others important? So this dude who becomes this Twitter's second largest shareholder was taken. Mm-hmm. Why was it important? How is Alawid and BO tied to Huma? Barack Obama, I believe. Why did Alawid finance Barack Obama pre-political days? Why did Alawid finance BO pre-political days? What is Huma defined? There's a lot there. What book was BO caught reading? Why was this immediately disregarded as false? Uh-huh. Why is this relevant? So it goes on, who was BO's mentor? How is Alawid and HRC connected? Clinton. How is Alawid and Bush Sr. Jr. connected? What occurred post 9/11? What war did we enter into? What was the purpose and disclosures given regarding the justification? Who financed 9/11? Why recently are classified 9/11 pages being released? Mm-hmm. What FOIA docs are being publicly released recently? Why is this relevant? What information is contained within these releases? Who audits where the money goes? What is the single biggest event that can generate many nation states to pay out billions? $15,000 for a toothbrush, folks? You know these audits of the government go nowhere, and we found out there's $2.3 trillion missing the day before 9/11 happened. You think that was coincidence? Do you think they're actually making $15,000 for a toothbrush, but you can actually charge that when you're doing government stuff, and then it doesn't get audited. So if you want to have, let's say, 1,000 toothbrushes for $15,000 apiece for my company, imagine how much money these companies make. Because they can do anything they want under the guise of government. That's what I'm throwing in there. Because then you can then build up your cash cow so that you can pull events like this off. Are you listening? Reconcile.
Why did we attack Iraq? Halliburton. Remember we brought this up in the last video. Who's tied to Halliburton? We're going to show you that in a moment. Who are they? What do they specialize in? What is oil field service? Why is this relevant? What senior level political officials are affiliated with Halliburton? What's the primary goal? What's the primary mode of influence that drives corruption? What does money buy? How is the connected to Saudi Arabia, Alawite, and Alvi? So again, I show you all this and it makes you think as we're connecting all these dots, because it's taken many years to kind of piece this all together, what many had already figured out years ago and they tried to tell us, but it didn't come out. But that's why this board, this Intel board, was such a big deal. This is why the mainstream media attacked it so much. It was asking us questions to research. We did the research. We found out what was going on. We connected the dots. And what'd they do? They said, anybody that talks about the Intel board needs to be taken down immediately. You're an enemy to our country. Baloney. And then right after they passed it, it was right 2 weeks prior to the 2020 election, folks, the whole, almost everybody, every politician voted that anybody that looks at these Intel boards or puts out information about it, they're bad people, essentially. And so what do? They knocked down like 20 sites. One of them was mine, YouTube, and said, you know what? You're done. They didn't give me a warning. They took me down 2 weeks before the 2020 election. Why? Because these guys that run this show of Halliburton and all that do not want this information out. They knew they were being exposed. So let's see, who's part of Halliburton? Oh, Dick Cheney resumes role as chairman of Halliburton Company. Is that right? Dick Cheney, the one who hates President Trump, that wants him out of there, the one that keeps putting out commercials saying that he doesn't need to be the one that runs for office. He's the evil one. No, Cheney's the one that said, you know, as you go through your videos and your research, the only guy that they removed from the 9/11 commission report was a guy that came out and said, you know, I was wondering what was going on, because they said, hey, there's this supposed plane that's going to hit the Pentagon. Sir, shouldn't we take it out? And, you know, it's within so many miles. And now it's within so many, you know, it's within a half a mile. Sir, we should take this thing out. And he turns and says, no. He allowed the whole thing to hit the Pentagon. The guy was confused. Why did he do that? He was part of it, in my assumption. Tess, this was definitely not found on Epstein's property. This is an airplane from Bush sitting on the floor in Epstein's property. And there's two buildings, Jenga buildings, two airplanes. And then, of course, they have to go out there and say, Reader's added context to this image. This painting by Patrick Ryan, client of George W. Bush, was not found at Jeffrey Epstein's house, but its companion piece, Parsing Bill, was. There's no indication that the Bush painting was purchased by Epstein. Oh, my goodness, and the exposure continues on and on and on. Going to the next piece, another part that was really big for me. Larry Silverstein bought the Twin Towers 1 month before 9/11 for only $14 million. Put terrorism insurance on it, and guess what he collected? You see that number there? Not million, $4.5 billion.
I said to myself, wouldn't it be fantastic if I could own the Twin Towers? We got very, very lucky. The governor of New York, George Pataki, decided one day that maybe it would be good to privatize the ownership of the World Trade Center. So I got a call from the governor's office, and they said, would you ever consider owning the World Trade Center?
Yeah. So it's hard to hear because there's this music. I can't stand the music. So anyway, lucky Larry Silverstein. He's lucky. He owned the World Trade Center. You know, he had breakfast every morning at the top of the world, a restaurant on the very top floor of the South Tower. That morning, however, Larry was so lucky to miss his breakfast because he had an appointment that his wife was nagging him about. And again, after the attack, he made $4.55 billion from his insurance payout. Huh. The timing. Interesting. Also, of course, in real life, you know, they like to show us things that they pull off in Hollywood. Back to the Future predicted 9/11. Not only Back to the Future, folks, but just all kinds of cartoons and TV shows and more.
along with what has been said in this video, I want to say that 9/11 was also a two becoming one ritual. You see, this two becoming one symbolism, that's two towers becoming one tower several times in Back to the Future. The most obvious being the Twin Pines Mall becoming the Lone Pine Mall. Of course, in real life, the two Twin Towers were replaced by the Lone One World Trade Center. Check this out.
The 1985 classic, Back to the Future, at a scene called the Twin Pines Mall, we will bear witness to a sudden surprise terrorist attack perpetrated by a group of Muslim terrorists. The attack is at the Twin, which is a reference to the Twin Towers. When we turn the sign upside down, the digits on the clock read 911 or 911. The Twin Pines are a symbolic representation of the Twin Towers. Before the terrorist attack, the Twins are present, but after the attack, the Twins are gone, replaced with a single pine. This takes place on 9/11, where the Twins are destroyed and replaced with a single tower, the One World Trade Building. Also at this scene, Doc shows us two stopwatches, both of which display encoded 9/11s. Is this only a coincidence? The pines are the towers, and this symbol system is confirmed in Back to the Future Part 2, where we see the Twin Pines appear again on a projection movie screen in Marty's future house. Marty's family gathers around the movie screen, and the Twin Pines actually morph into the Twin Towers. This is because the Twin Pines are the Twin Towers. The pines are the towers. Pines, towers. And the Twin Pines Mall is the Twin Towers Mall, which is why all the clocks here secretly say 9/11 and why there will be a Muslim terrorist attack resulting in the destruction of the Twin Pines or the Twin Towers. But the appearance of the towers is not a random backdrop, as we can see the Statue of Liberty lurking just as secretly as the towers, making this scene a secret recreation of New York City, where Marty's family has gathered to stare at Ground Zero. Of these three characters staring at Ground Zero, one of them is completely upside down. But in the entire Back to the Future saga, this is the only time when an upside-down character will ever appear. The hint being given here is to observe the scene from his perspective by turning it upside down. But when doing so, the Twin Towers are clearly shown to be falling down. In the entire history of cinema...
Falling down. In the entire history of cinema, we've never seen anything like this before. They knew. They planned this out, and many folks would say that they planned this out before the World Trade Center was even built. Oh, yeah. And so we get over to the Punisher, who put all of these parts together, and we really appreciate that. Down the rabbit hole we go, are we to believe that a man in a cave with a satellite phone on dialysis penetrated the strongest military defense on the planet, brought down three of the strongest built buildings in the world with two delicate aluminum planes? Why was there no military intervention during an actual terrorist attack? How did Larry Silverstein have a sudden dermatologist appointment on September 11th, where his office was precisely where the plane hit? How did common terrorists who can't even operate a crop duster operate a commercial airliner? Why did the two towers turn into dust before they hit the ground? Why did Building 7 fall at free fall speed into its own footprint like a controlled demolition when it wasn't even hit by a plane? How often does the media say today is quite too quiet? What would terrorists gain from this? If not terrorists, who would gain from this? If American government had any involvement, then someone would say something, right? Either them, the military, and media, and are all absolute imbeciles, or could they all be in on it? Let's dig. And so then this was put together. Part 3, hiding evidence. Twin Towers. How did the lightweight aluminum wings from the planes cut through the 14-inch steel beams of World Trade Center? Pentagon, where are the engines and big components of the plane that hit the Pentagon? There were none. Why, out of 86 confirmed videos that could identify the plane, did the FBI only release one? It only had five frames. That means five little pictures on a movie. There's supposed to be 30 pictures per second, folks, for those that don't know the world of video. Okay, 30 pictures a second. They only gave us five pictures in 1 second. You catching us? The Pentagon claimed that the plane was vaporized, including both 6-ton titanium engines. Jet fuel can vaporize titanium engines. The light poles knocked down by the plane faced away from the Pentagon rather than towards its trajectory. Building 7. Everyone evacuated Building 7 before the first strike. Coincidence? Huh. Molten steel was found in the basement of Building 7. It wasn't hit by a plane. NIST says this is a false claim, even after 36 firemen testified to it. Building 7 was not even mentioned in the 9/11 Commission report. And who was in Building 7? If you look to your right of your screen, it looks like the CIA, the FBI, I believe, DOD, IRS, some banks, and more. And then you had Shyam Sunder come out and say, World Trade Center 7 definitely collapsed because of the debris from flight. Oh my goodness gracious. What a liar. Flight 93 had debris scattered across 8 miles with minimum size that could be carried by hand, a 15 to 20 foot burnt hole in the earth. That's all that it shows, the evidence 93. Ground zero, amongst the greatest crime scenes in American history, our government decided not to investigate, but to immediately remove all evidence to be shipped to China, to be melted down and recycled, thus violating the law of a crime scene. After a crime scene has been discovered, measures must be taken to secure and protect the scene from contamination. To maintain the integrity of the scene, law enforcement must take action to block off the surrounding area, as well as keep track of who comes in and goes out. That's from the Justice Department. Then you had the documentary Loose Change that was put here. And I put all of this, folks, in the description box below. Okay? As you go through this, each video, they show you the evidence of how this all plays out. Okay?
Concrete. Building.
So again, I don't have time to go through this all. I want to keep this as close to an hour as I can. Follow the money. In 1908, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey agreed to privatize the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. The lease was for $3.2 billion and was financed by a bridge loan from GMAC, the commercial mortgage arm of General Motors. Uh-huh. Silverstein, remember, he got a hold of it, paid very little for it, and all of a sudden, he gets billions of dollars paid out. Why did Building 7 wake so many up, including myself? Because we were told that 2 planes brought down 3 buildings and not to question it. But what's the history behind Building 7? Building 7, also known as the Solomon Brothers Building, was the housing of the pre-9/11 law enforcement headquarters. CIA, FBI, I already told you this, counterterrorism unit, and why Solomon Brothers? Many Americans are still unaware that for years, Larry Silverstein owned only 1 building near the World Trade Center complex, Building 7. A mere 2 months before 9/11, he bought the entire complex, all 7 of the buildings. Boy. He went to court and fought to receive a much higher monetary award. He said that because each plane hit was a separate attack, he wanted to be awarded $3.5 billion for both plane strikes. Well, why is Building 7 so important? Because the official story is that 2 hijacked planes hit the Twin Towers, caught them on fire, and caused them to collapse, even though a modern steel building has never before in history collapsed from fire. But then we have Building 7 that was further away than any other building in the complex, and later that afternoon got a few small fires in it and mysteriously collapsed. However, buildings that were closer to the destruction of the Twin Towers but were not owned by Mr. Silverstein went left unscathed. Strangely enough, only the buildings owned by Larry Silverstein were destroyed. Silverstein commented on the demolition of Building 7 by saying, quote, I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they weren't sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. And I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And then they made that decision to pull. And then we watched the building collapsed. For those of you who don't know this, the word pull for a building is a demolition term, meaning to detonate the building floor by floor in order to bring it down at free fall speed. There's only one problem with this. It takes weeks, if not months, for a demolition team to rig a building with explosives to demolish it. Yet somehow Building 7 was already magically rigged with explosives on 9/11 when Mr. Silverstein said, pull it, later that afternoon. Huh. Let's go to the 6-minute portion. Was it right about here? No, I don't think I have it. There was a video clip. Oh, here it is, of them on mainstream media bragging about World Trade Center 7 collapsing before it collapsed. Here we go.
Salomon Brothers building and its collapse.
Well, only really what you already know. Details are very, very sketchy.
Solemnly confirming what he says, and she's standing right in front of World Trade 7, which is clearly not, it hasn't collapsed, and it isn't collapsing. When this video was discovered, I think it was 2007, and widely spread on the internet, it was quite a scandal. So the head of BBC had to eventually reply, and he said, well, if we reported this before it happened, I can assure you it's not because we were part of some conspiracy.
Yep. So BBC is basically saying, oh, you know, we basically, you know, we didn't know what was going on. This is a bunch of hogwash. Yet news networks, which reported the collapse of the World Trade Center 7 prematurely, many of them, Communist News Network, MSNBC, Fox, BBC, and more, they were getting ahead of the story. Pentagon, we talked about that. Shanksville, we talked about that. We had the Israeli art students who were dancing and super excited because of what they were witnessing. And I showed you that in a video previously. These foreign Israeli students were granted full access to both Twin Towers during early March 2001. They were also known as Gelatin, or AKA, also known as B-Thing, and were allowed full access to the towers, including the maintenance elevators, which is strictly conserved for construction, were actually given housing on the 91st floor of the South Tower. The DEA declassified documents showing that the foreign residents known as Israeli art students were allowed by World Trade Center security to full access of the Twin Towers for up to and including 9 months. Now you got to ask yourself, how are foreign art students allowed full access to the World Trade Center, including the areas that have vital access? How, you ask? Let me enlighten you. The head of security during this duration was none other than Marvin Bush, who was the director of the World Trade Center Electronic Security Program and the director of the World Trade Center Casualty Insurance Company called Houston Casualty. Coincidence? Port Authority owned the World Trade Center until Jewish businessman Louis Eisenberg took over and put the privatization into the hands of self-proclaimed Zionists Larry Silverstein and Frank Lowry. Zim, an Israeli-American shipping company, moved out of World Trade Center shortly before 9/11. The Israeli company was operating under Larry Silverstein, new investment of his insurance policy. So who were the Israeli art students? A simple conspiracy to throw us off track, or the ones who were actually hired by security to carry out this plan? Part 10, no planes. We went through that. I don't want to get through that right now. And then you had Tim Osman and Bluebeam, who is Osama bin Laden. Well, it came to shock you that his actual name is Tim Osman, or Colonel Tim Osman. Yeah, Osama bin Laden, Colonel Tim Osman, a CIA asset and Mossad agent who worked with the Justice Department. This man is credited as long as being the top most wanted terrorist in history. Tim Osman bin Laden was actually on dialysis during the events of 9/11. He was very ill and ultimately passed away December 15th, 2001, due to kidney failure and other complications. However, the establishment media complex wants you to believe that the highest-ranking terrorist known in America was simply assassinated after decades of failure to find him, then put on board of an old Vietnam-era chopper, only to be thrown into the sea, thus eliminating all evidence that the shooting down of SEAL Team 6, thus removing any witnesses. Therefore, all evidence of the most wanted terrorist in history was removed. Yeah, SEAL Team 6. Unfortunately, the establishment media fails to understand the power of the independent journalism, such as James Fetzer, who had a brilliant breakdown of no planes, no Bluebeam, Bluebeam. That, remember, we talked about Bluebeam was probably used to project an image of airplanes going into the World Trade Center. Remember, FBI placed in evidence the failure of the cell phone calls and so much more. Amazing breakdown. Again, guys, all of this is in the description box below. Just go to the Punisher, the breakdown of 9/11, and you'll see all of these parts. Engineering, Bush and Laden connection, and the bin Laden connection, the family connection. Defining demolition, what that really is. Asbestos was another part of it. And then Bill Cooper not only predicted 9/11, but he also predicted the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. He described an eerie accuracy of government who was willing to manufacture a false flag event in order to further a global agenda of destroying America's sovereignty by confiscating citizens' guns. In Chapter 12 of his book, Behold a Pale Horse, Cooper goes on to warn us of a rise in school shootings in order to justify stricter gun laws. He believed the government was willing to encourage importation of firearms for criminals to use in order to accomplish this agenda. Then we had Part 17, the petrodollar and regime change. Part 18, Operation Northwoods. Part 19, Trump versus Bush. Trump knew the same day. We played that clip. Predictive programming and symbolism. How many coincidences before it's mathematically impossible? We all know the establishment in Hollywood must tell us plans through subliminal messages. Part 21, Planes and War Games. Part 22, A Deeper Look. Part 23, The Goal. And Part 24, The Conclusion. Part 25, Dedication. Now, all of this for you to go in the description box below and watch every single video. Go through these parts in detail and you will learn so much more about how they played this stuff out in front of us, what they did to us, how they've hurt other people for being truthers out there, and how we all need protection at all times for what's going on. At all times.
Anyway.
So I'm going to play this to finish off our video today. The Hour of Time podcast by William Cooper. Exposing all of this, okay, guys? And then we'll close in prayer.
No matter what country you're in or what language you speak, welcome around the world to the Hour of the Time. I'm your host, William Cooper. Tonight, folks, I come to you with a heavy heart. For another one, actually two of my predictions, one has come true, one is about to come true. The one that has come true involved the loss of life and the injury of over 500 people. And of course, I'm talking about the bombing of the World Trade Center in New York City. As far back as 1989 and ever since, I've been predicting major terrorist attacks upon the United States. The primary number one target, New York City. I've said it so many times, and so many people attending my lectures, listening to my broadcast, and who have read my book are familiar with it. I never, never enjoy being right when it involves the loss of life and human injury. Nevertheless, it is another chalk mark on the board, and I remain the most accurate predictor of future world events in the history of the world. The one that is about to come true and has not yet is the prediction that I made that the United States would send troops to Yugoslavia. And it appears that that is going to happen in the very near future. Anyway, we will see, won't we? As we move into the new world order, and all of these events are planned to take us directly into one world totalitarian socialist government. To all those people in the city of New York who lost relatives or who had friends or relatives that were injured, I offer you my deepest compassion, sympathy, and I wish that I could tell you that that was the end of it, but I can tell you that it is only the beginning.
And that was right after the bombing, the basement there area of World Trade Center. He knew another one was coming. He was up in the highest levels of intel, and he created his own civilian intel agency. And he was probably one of the first out there, truthers, with a voice on radio, and they took him out, I think it was a few weeks after 9/11, because they realized what a threat he was.
by getting the truth out. Now, many are sharing the truth. Many are spreading the truth. And that's one of the most dangerous things for the enemy, is that we all wake up. Laura Boley, the biggest red pill that never was 9/11. Instead, it was confirmation of the global population's gullibility. We fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Evil's greatest advantage is the goodness of humanity. It is so inconceivable to us that such a degree of evil can exist that we simply brush it off as impossible. But remember, the greatest trick the devil ever played was convincing the world that he did not exist. Oh, but he does. Those of us that eventually saw behind the veil of deception have had to face the devil's doings, and it's been truly horrific. It's no wonder most people refuse to go there. It's easier to hide your head in the sand and believe in Santa rather than Satan. So yes, you may choose to bury your head in the sand and continue to believe in La La Land, where governments care for you and science is sacred, but your reluctancy to face the truth may cost you your life, so think twice before your cowardice takes you to your grave. 9/11 had a very specific purpose. It was the event that would allow the global forces of evil to further their New World Order plans. They needed an excuse to attack Iraq, because they needed to control the oil and hence the power and hence the banks in the region, which were about the only ones in the world not yet under control, their control. 9/11 is the perfect example of how far they will go to further their plans. It is also the greatest example of how easy it is to deceive us, and so they continue to do so day in and day out. Pandemics, climate change, terrorism, wildfires, mass shootings, one engineered event after the other to get us some or one step closer to their one world government wet dream. Let's turn their dream into their nightmare. Let's finally foil their plan. Let's show them that we might be good but not dumb, that we want peace but are not afraid to fight, that we are sovereign beings, not chattel, and that we are children of God, not the devil's. Yes, we bit the apple once upon a time, but humanity is just about to spit it in the face of evil once and for all. And folks, with that, as a quick brief and rundown of 9/11, of what they're trying to push on us once again, of those that are fighting back against the evil that's coming at them, like Mike Lindell, like President Trump, like people standing up and saying, I've had enough of the attacks of our president. And the wake-up call of many young people who are saying, we know true leadership when we see it. And we hope we're right. And we hope to see the enemy destroyed soon and very soon.
For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for all that you continue to do in and through us. Thank you for giving us the ability to communicate through computer systems, internet, and more. You've allowed us to have a brief moment in time where we can reveal the truth of the evil one, expose evil, like you said in the Word of God, to realize once again each day, as folks are coming to a realization of what's been played out in front of us, that the replacement for this emptiness that many people find will be a direct relationship with you through the Word of God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we hope and pray for that constantly. Thank you for the warriors we have on the front lines, for those that are working constantly against this enemy. We know that we need protection, and we ask for that protection of our families, of our lives, of our minds, of our mouth, of our eyes, each second of every day. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Folks, thank you for your patience and time with all of this. I wish I could have given you hours and hours of more detail, but I just don't like doing that to you. There's so many more that worked so hard to get this out to you. And so I hope that you're encouraged this week. I hope that we remember Patriots Day, and we also remember those that have fallen, many people deceived, but at the same time, we realize what a moment we live in, time we live in, to be able to share with others the joy that we have in us despite
the evil that is constantly surrounding our lives. For now, this is LT saying Semper Fi with Am We Know. Signing out.